John, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Steve. I hope all my friends in Sweetwater County are doing well as well.
Oh, I'm sure they are. You know, we got the big fair going on this week, so everybody's kind of all fired up for all of that good stuff.
Well, the fairs are terrific. You know, my wife Bobby's from Thermopolis, born and raised there, went to the, you know, through the schools, and they've invited us to be, I think they invited her to be the grand marshal of the parade on Saturday morning with me to ride along. So,
that's neat.
We're going to be back. We'll be back in, I'll be back in Wyoming, and it'll be terrific to be home for the weekend.
All right, that's neat. All right, I know you guys got a lot on the plate and going on. Your assessment on what's going on in Washington in the last couple of months, I guess it's the last time we talked with you.
Well, it's, you know, since I last talked to you, we've had the largest deployment of troops in the history of the state of Wyoming, and I spent the weekend actually in Kuwait. I flew over on Friday night after we finished in the Senate and visited hundreds of Wyoming men and women who are keeping us free, and they all have thoughts of Wyoming. It was it hit 119 degrees, Steve, in Kuwait on Sunday when I was out in the desert. We were at three different bases out in the desert and went from one to the next to the next. And, you know, what I would ask is for folks at home, there are a lot of people who's either you know, father or mother is overseas fighting, or, you know, husband or wife. And for the folks at home need our help. And if any way that any people in the Wyoming community, and we've been terrific as supporters of the military for our entire history as a state. But, you know, the soldier said to me, you know, have people reach out and invite our families to social gatherings, community events, school events, church events, all sorts of activities. And I think, you know, with the fair going on and everything, you know, try to invite somebody. If you know there's some kids at home whose mom or dad are overseas defending us, keeping us free, include the family.
All right. What's your assessment of what's going on? And I guess a follow-up on that would be the morale of the troops that you talked to?
Well, the morale is good. They've been there now a little less than a month. They have plenty to eat, they will tell you. They're still getting used to the heat, and it is I don't know that you ever get used to those temperatures, you know, when you get up toward 120 degrees. But they're well, and they know each other. They're assimilating very well. They've become very good friends. And, you know, wherever you go, you see the bucking horse and the cowboy. You see the Wyoming flag. You see a lot of maps of Wyoming and signs from home.
All right. And your just general assessment of what's taking place with our battles over there?
Yeah. And you know, for the most part, they're stationed in Kuwait, but they're moving supplies, moving equipment in and out of Iraq. So on any given day, Steve, they're logging about 10,000 miles up and around into and around Iraq and around Kuwait. You know, the armored vehicles, the MRAPs, all of those things, and they're doing well. They're talking about, you know, safety first, make sure that they're under, you know, safe conditions at all times, because, you know, right now in Iraq, the situation is much, much better than it has been in previous years. But any day can be a bad day in Iraq, Steve. So we keep them in our prayers.
All right, Senator, I'm always amazed about how Washington, D.C. and what the issues are in D.C. and how quickly they change. And I guess this all comes from a national media perspective, but, you know, it just seems like we were talking about stimulus, we were talking about the president's budget, now the big buzzword there is health care. And of course, you're a doctor and involved in health care and have been for pretty much all your life. What's your assessment of health care and where we're at with this thing?
Well, to me, it's still very expensive. You know, the president promised what he wanted to do was get health care costs under control, and now they have a proposal that's going to add another $1 trillion, $1 trillion to our national debt, and we can't sustain that kind of expense as a nation. You know, you've had the stimulus package, they had this cap and trade bill that's going to be expensive, you have a takeover of General Motors. You know, you run through this, and we're looking at the president's budget that doubles the national debt in 5 years, triples it in 10. And I think people say, yes, we agree, Mr. President, we want to get health care costs under control, but this 1,000-page bill doesn't do it. And they say, Mr. President, you said that, you know, if you had a system that you liked, a health care plan that you liked, you would be able to keep it. But if you read the fine points of the bill, it doesn't really happen that way. So there are a lot of concerns. Senator Enzi, you know, is the leading Republican on the Health Committee, very involved in all the discussions and debates and negotiations. He's in called the Gang of Six in the Senate, who really have their finger on the pulse of all of this. I meet with him at least once a day, usually twice a day, to go over the issues. He's very knowledgeable. He's using the same good, solid sense that he used in the Wyoming state legislature, and he's a guy that's not going to be stampeded. He's not going to just jump on some bandwagon. So we know that we need to make sure that health care costs come down, and the Congressional Budget Office, who measures all this stuff, said, this bill's going to be even more expensive. The Mayo Clinic looked at it, and the Mayo Clinic said, well, not only will it raise the cost, it actually is going to make health care worse. So there are a lot of details.
Can something be done by September?
I think that's going to be very challenging. You know, what I've been saying is members ought to take the bill home with them over the break and travel around the states and have town meetings, listen to people, and then when they come back to Washington in September, then vote on it after you've gotten all the input from home. You know, they did the exact opposite of that, Steve, on that cap and trade bill that has to do with, you know, global climate change and putting taxes on carbon. And you know, what they did there is they said nobody gets to go home, and the vote was in the House, nobody gets to go home for the 4th of July until you actually vote on this thing and pass it. And then they threw in 300 pages of an amendment at 3 in the morning, and then they had to vote a couple of hours later. Nobody had read the amendment, and then it passed. Then they let them go home, and I'm happy to say that they've now kind of, you know, step back and said, no, people ought to go home and read the bill. Although one of the members of the House, a Democrat, Conyer, said the other day, they asked him and he was giving a speech, and they said, you know, should members read the bill? He said, no, I don't see any reason to read the health care bill. He said it would take 2 days, and you need two lawyers to explain to you what it even meant. So there's no reason to read the bill. Well, if you're going to deal with something, you know, Steve, that's so personal, somebody's health care, them and their family and their parents, the kids, the grandkids, so personal. I think you ought to read the bill. And if you don't understand the bill, then you shouldn't vote for it. I mean, you want to vote for things that you think are actually going to make an improvement in people's lives.
All right.
Not something because somebody else tells you to vote for it.
Right. You mentioned the August break, and I was going to ask you this kind of later in the deal, but what are your plans for the August break in terms of this health care thing?
Well, what are my plans for the August break? I'm planning to be home in Wyoming, visiting with people, traveling around, listening to what people have to say. You know, there's a House bill. There are a couple different Senate bills. You know, I'll be visiting, as I do, you know, visiting hospitals, visiting communities, and visiting with folks all around the state of Wyoming.
I got to tell you, I've talked to several people that concerning this health care issue, and it is a complicated thing for just a layman like myself. But there's a lot of concern about, people are like, I got to wait and see what Congress is going to do. There's a lot of that talk.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing, when I have one of these telephone town hall meetings the other night and talked to people from Sweetwater County, they were on the line. You know, people say, what's this going to do for my personal health care? What will it do? How will it affect me personally and my family? What will this bill do to the amount of money I have to pay? And what will this bill do for, you know, me getting the kind of care that I want? And until people get that answer, I think they're going to be a little reluctant to give up what they have, because they look at these dollar amounts and they say, it looks to me like I'm going to be paying more. And am I going to get something better or worse? And I'm worried that we're going to end up with something worse, which would be a government takeover of our health care system.
All right. One of the issues that you came out and we just got a press release, or we just heard about this last couple of days, is the movement to curtail the snow machining in Yellowstone National Park. Where are we at with that issue?
Well, we had a hearing on that just the other day, 2 days ago. The newly appointed, nominated person to be the head of the National Park Service was in the committee, and I asked question after question after question about snowmobiling. You know, the Obama administration came out the other day and said they're going to want to lower the number of snowmobiles that are allowed in Yellowstone National Park. And I just oppose that. I oppose it all the way. And I told him that. And I told him that on the, in the committee. And he said, he wasn't sure because he's not yet confirmed. But I want to know specifically where he is on this, because, you know, the New York Times had an editorial a week or so ago that said there should be no snowmobiling in Yellowstone National Park. Well, Steve, I've had some of my best experiences in enjoying the outdoors of Yellowstone on a snow machine in the winter. I mean, that's, to me, a wonderful way to enjoy the park. And when Yellowstone became the first national park in 1872, the law said this is for the benefit and enjoyment of the people. And if you don't have access to the park, how are you going to enjoy it? So I am going to continue to hold firm on this. And, you know, there have been different rulings, court rulings over the years. But and the snow machines now, as you know, are much better in terms of safer, more fuel efficient, less emissions, less noise, better for the wildlife in the vicinity. So all across the board, I think the people of Wyoming have stepped up, the manufacturers have stepped up, the snowmobile enthusiasts, have done their part. And the only people that haven't have been Washington, D.C., and the bureaucrats.
All right. And, Senator, I assume, being that you serve on the Energy Natural Resources Committee, is that issue in that committee?
It is, and the nominees come to our committee for a hearing, and they're going to have to vote on him for to be confirmed. And but I'll tell you, I think they made this decision before they even confirmed him, because I asked him that. I said, did you know this was coming? He said, no. And I actually found it interesting that they made this announcement right before I came here for these hearings, because for those of us who, you know, really appreciate the need for access to the parks, it wasn't a good day for the nominee, because I was all over him about the decision by the administration to limit the number of snowmobiles, and I'm going to continue to fight him on this.
All right. A couple of other issues. The Supreme Court nominee, Senator, where are you at with her?
She's cleared the committee. I still have some concerns. I have not, we haven't set the date for the vote. I imagine that's going to be next week, and then I'll make a final decision of reading what she's written. I still have significant concerns about Second Amendment rights and her position there, and specific issues about affirmative action and her ruling in the New Haven firefighters case, and significant issues about eminent domain and her ruling in the use of eminent domain to take private property.
All right. I don't know if this is an unfair question or not, Senator, but if you had to vote today, how would you side on this deal?
Well, I don't have to vote today. So.
I knew you were going to say that. I've asked you that question before. I knew that was going to happen. Okay, we'll move on to the next subject. Senator, is the stimulus package, is it working?
The stimulus package, you know, the president said, I voted against it. I voted against it, you know that. No, I don't think it's working, and for several reasons. One is, the president said, if you pass this, we will see immediate results. He said, if you don't pass it, unemployment rates could go as high as 8% in this country. Well, the unemployment rate is now 9.5% in the country. So the president misjudged it. He also wanted something that he thought was timely and temporary and targeted. Well, as of today, I think only about one in every $10 to be spent in the stimulus package has actually been spent, even though this was signed into law over 5 months ago, Steve. So if it was really meant to stimulate the economy, why have they only spent, you know, $1 out of 10? With some of this money isn't supposed to be spent until the year, you know, 2015 and 2017. I mean, how does that stimulate the economy? So I think they got it wrong. There is money that came to Wyoming for highway projects. I think that's important. That's good for us to have that. That is helping stimulate things in Wyoming. But that's just a small portion of the money. And we're now voting on a highway bill and with budget issues. And we have an amendment that I co-sponsored that said, hey, you want to do these highway projects? Let's do them now, and let's use some of this stimulus money that isn't even planning to be spent till the year 2015. So, you know, I think that that the stimulus package was much too expensive, and they could have done a more timely and targeted and temporary process, which they didn't do. And, you know, in terms of Wyoming and the money, I have always thought, and I said this at the state legislature, you know, months ago, right when the stimulus package was signed into law, I said, there are certain areas where we're going to have an option to take money or not take it for Wyoming. And it may involve Wyoming actually having to match some of the money that comes and spend Wyoming dollars as well. And I said, on those, we have to use Wyoming's vision and Wyoming's values. And if it's something that's consistent with our vision and our values, then we should take the money. But if it's not consistent with our vision and our values, then we should not.
All right, two other questions quickly if I can. I know you're strapped for some time here. As you may have heard, the Trona mine's a little bit on the struggling side at this point. In fact, one of the mines just recently laid off 38 workers. And there's some issues with China. Can you enlighten us a little bit on, are we making some headway on Wyoming soda ash being a little more competitive on a worldwide basis?
Well, China is always focused on their own economy, and they put on taxes or take off taxes to help try to stimulate their own economy, and they don't really care very much about us. The soda ash from China, as you know, and as all of our friends in Sweetwater County know, is something that they manufacture. They don't do it like we do it in Sweetwater County. But I had a chance to visit last week with John Huntsman. He's governor of Utah. He's been nominated to be the ambassador to China. He knows the issues of soda ash. He knows the issues of Trona. And we spent the whole time talking specifically about issues related to Sweetwater County and what China's doing in terms of its tax status. And he is going to be heading to China with us in mind, completely aware of the impact of China and its sliding taxes and tariffs on our soda ash industry in Wyoming and in America. So absolutely focused on that and focused on those Wyoming jobs.
You know, and I didn't even think about John Huntsman being a Western guy from Utah possibly helping us out with this issue.
Well, I think that it's very fortunate for us that he is willing to do this job. He had been a U.S. trade ambassador before, is very knowledgeable. You know, he and I went together with Senator McCain and Senator Joe Lieberman for Thanksgiving to Iraq and spent Iraq with the troops, went and spent our Thanksgiving with the troops in Iraq in 2007. So I got to know him very well on that trip, and I think he did a terrific job in Utah, and I think he'll do a great job representing us as a nation in China and really with a thoughtful eye on the soda ash industry in Wyoming and in America.
All right, your 5-week break, Senator. Are you any plans to be in Sweetwater County in this area at all?
I am sure I'm going to be all over the state this weekend. I'm going to be back again this weekend. Looking forward to getting back to Wyoming tomorrow. I know we're going to be in Thermopolis, and then I think we're in Carbon County for a parade later in the day. Bobby and I will be all over the state, and I can't imagine that I'm not going to be in Sweetwater County.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you and visiting with you. And, Senator, I appreciate you spending a little time. I know you're busy.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure. Tell Al hi.
I will do that. Senator John Barrasso, thank you.